cover here the topic of the Tfila of Rosh Hashanah, the structure of the Tfila, which is the broad terminology for it is Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. This is like a two-hour shiur. We're going to condense it down 10 minutes and 15 minutes when we get the, hopefully, the highlights of what it is about. And then maybe another time we'll get to the a chance to do the expanded form of the shiur. So the first question you have to ask, since the general question is, when you daven every day, you daven three times a day, right? Is that a Torah requirement? Is that only a rabbinic requirement? Do you have to daven? Does the Torah, where does the Torah say that you have to daven every day? Does the Torah say what? What? Karbanos, what? What about karbanos? You're supposed to bring karbanos every morning, right? So what does that have to do with tefillah? What does that have to do with davening, right? You bring the karbanos, we don't have a base midrash, what? After we left the base midrash. So the Gemara in Bracha says that, right, that tefillah is connected to karbanos, that's true, but that doesn't necessarily make it a doraisa, it doesn't make it a Torah requirement. The Gemara says that tefillah, right, comes to replace the karbanos that we don't have, but nowhere in the Torah does it say that tefillah, right, is equal to karbanos. The best is the Novi and Zechariah says, Noshamu Parim Tzvatenu. That's not mentioned in the Torah. So what about Minotorah? Do you know anywhere in the Torah where it tells you have to daven every day? Very good. So you're quoting the Rambam, right? The Rambam says the first line here. It's the first and last Makor on the sheet. The Rambam believes, right, that Tfilah, it says, that the Pasuk says, that Ula Rabdem et Hashem Lokechem, and there is a Mesorah that, what is this Avodah? Ula Avdol B'chol Avavchem, to worship with all your heart. How do you worship Hashem with your heart? Right? What's the way you worship Hashem with your heart? Tfilah. Right? Davening. So davening is the way that you worship Hashem. So the Rambam, who is unique in this, says that davening is min haTorah because of Abdul B'chol Avavchem, that you have to worship Hashem with your whole heart. Now, number one, the Rambam says you only have to daven once a day. From the Torah, it just says Abdul B'chol Avavchem, daven once a day. There's really no structure to the tefillah, all the brachot that we have. The only structure of tefillah, it has to be, first it has to be Shevach, give praise to Hashem, Bakasha, make a request, and Hodah, and give thanks. That's it. Min haTorah, that's all the Rambam says. But, and it's so controversial what the Rambam says, that the Ramban, Nachmanides, argues on him. And says there's no such mitzvah to daven min haTorah. Davening's only rabbinic. Only comes from the rabbis. All of davening. There is no requirement to daven min haTorah, except for one exception. The Ramban makes one exception. I didn't photocopy it for you. It's in the Sefer Mitzvot. The Ramban argues in the Rambam. The only time that it is a mitzvah from the Torah to daven is what? Eitz Tzara. Very good. At a time of need. Time of Tzara. Time when there is a tremendous need in Bnei Yisrael. So at Eitz Tzara, when there's a need to daven, that is based on the Pesukim by Mivat, it's Tzachat HaMechot Tzitzrot. You have to call up to Hashem by Tzara Tzarei Arachem when there's a somebody who's oppressing you, you call out to Hashem. So that's the only mitzvah min doraisa of the Ramban. But generally, right, tefillah is rabbinic in nature. Structure of tefillah, for sure, is rabbinic. Now, what's the structure of Shemoneh Esrei? In general, all Shemoneh Esrei have the same structure. First three brachot, right, that is Magen Avraham, right, Mechayeh Mitim, and Hakel HaKadosh or Melech HaKadosh are always there, the first three brachot, Shevach LaHashem. The last three brachot are always there also, right? The last three brachot, which is Avoda, right, and Machzir Shkinat Olzion, and Toshim Chalach and Lados, and Berechat HaShalom, always there, Oda at the end. The middle, right, the middle changes. How does the middle change? Normally, on a daily basis, how many brachot you daven in the middle? Right, you have three in the beginning, three in the end. How much in the middle? Right, 13, right, 12, 13. In the middle, you have 13. That gets you the structure of Shemoneh Esrei. Any other time that we don't daven 13, how many we daven in the middle? Shabbos, Yom Tov. Any other time, how many brachot do we have in the middle? How many?
One.
Right, run. Mekadesh Shabbat. Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. Right? Mekadesh Yisrael Rashi Chachachem. Only one bracha in the middle. Right? So any other time, there's only two structures to Shemoneh Esrei. You either have the daily, which is 3, 13 and 3, and then the Shabbat Yom Tov, it's 3, 1 and 3. That's it. But Rosh Hashanah is unusual. Why is Rosh Hashanah unusual? Because what does it have in the middle?
3.
Right. Now, if you think that is, it's amazingly unusual because we don't have any structure. Aside from Rosh Hashanah and maybe Yom Kippur on the Yovel, we never say this, the structure of three in the middle, Machiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. That doesn't exist. That's unusual to have such a structure. It's so unusual that it's actually Machlokas. You can see that in the Beit HaBechira, it's in the middle of the daf here. It's actually Machlokas how many times we daven it. There are some opinions that believe that you cannot say these three brachot unless you're in Betzibor, or the field of Betzibor. Only if you're davening in public. If you daven privately, you only get one bracha in the middle. Something that's so unique, and it's so special to Rosh Hashanah, it can only be done when you're with the rest of the tzibur. Right? Number two is another opinion. It's the other extreme. Balamor and others who believe that you say it in every tefillah. Every tefillah in Rosh Hashanah has 1, 3, and 1. Because that's what's unique to Rosh Hashanah, 1, 3, and 1. But we have the other opinion, the last opinion, which is what? That we only have this structure in one of the tefillot of Rosh Hashanah, and that is the tefillah of Musaf, right? Only in Musaf do we have, right, this structure of 1, 3, and 1. Now, we just said before, what, that tefillah is rabbinic, even according to the Rambam, who believes that it's midoraita min haTorah, that's only the fact that you have to daven once a day. No structure is, right, midoraita. Let's look at the second, the pasuk of Vayikra, when it's in Parshat Emor, when it describes Rosh Hashanah, calls it, what, a zichron truah. What does it mean, a zichron truah? So remember a truah? You look at Rashi, right here, it's on your pages. Rashi says, zichron truah. That is zichron p'tukei zichronot, p'tukei shofrot. So from Rashi, it sounds like what? That the Torah actually tells us what we need to say on Rosh Hashanah. The p'tukim of, right, he's living out Malchios, as the Rambam points out, but at least Malchios, according to shofarot, according to Rashi, is min haTorah. It's zichron truah. On Rosh Hashanah, davening the three brachos is what? Min haTorah. That's one. That's unusual. That's amazing, because no tefillah is deraita at all from the Torah. And here, all of a sudden, Rashi says it's min haTorah. Right? Now, and again, in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, right, the Gemara asks, how come, that's a strange question about Rabbi Akiva. And he says, why do we mention Malchios on Rosh Hashanah? You know what the answer of the Gemara is? Rachmana Yitkar. The Torah tells you to. There's another second source. If the Torah tells you must daven, Malchios, at least Malchios, maybe Zichronot and Shofarot on Rosh Hashanah. And the last place is Rashi says we have to, the Gemara says you have to blow the shofar 9 times. So 3 sets of 3. 3, 3, and 3. Why? How do you know that you need 3 sets of 3? What does Rashi say? How come you need 3 sets of 3? Malchios, Zichronot, and Shofarot. So again, Rashi seems to indicate that what? It's min haTorah. From the Torah, we daven on Rosh Hashanah, this framework of 1, 3, and 1. Now, again, to point out how amazing or how unusual this is, first of all, the Ramban argues on Rashi right off the spot, says Rashi's wrong. Right? Number two is, we saw that even the Rambam, who's the one opinion, or the strongest opinion that says that davening is from the Torah, only says davening once a day is from the Torah, but otherwise not. The Ramban argues about it, says Beit Sarah. So where did Rashi get such a thing? And what's more problematic for Rashi is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Lamed Aleph says what? It says, the Gemara asks the question, if you have a choice between hearing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah and the chance to daven with the tzibur, what should you pick? What would you pick? Why shofar? Right? It's from what? It's the oraita. But didn't we just say davening? Rashi just said it's min haTorah to daven Rosh Hashanah. So how could that be? You're right. The Gemara says that. The Gemara says, Pshita, of course you go hear shofar. Why do you go hear shofar? That's from the Torah. Davening? Only midrabbanan. Huge problem for Rashi. The Gemara explicitly says that davening on Rosh Hashanah is rabbinic in nature, not min haTorah. Daven Rashi, and Rashi does it continuously through the Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Rashi has a consistent shita that davening on Rosh Hashanah is min haTorah. All right, so now how could it be? Explicit Gemara says it's rabbinic. Rashi says it's deoraita. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested a beautiful idea which is important to the davening on Rosh Hashanah. And that is, it depends. Right? Davening on Rosh Hashanah could be rabbinic or it could be min haTorah. What does it depend on? It depends on if you blow the shofar. Right? What do we do in our tefillot? Right? When we have Malchios, Zichronot, and Shofarot, right? When we repeat the Shmoneh Esrei, what do we do? Well, at the end of each bracha, we blow the shofar. Right? So that is, the Gemara says, that we have to, we dive in to when we blow the shofar, it says mitzvah togin yotzei min habavarchin, and then the Gemara says why do we blow 3 times or why do we have 3 brachot? It says right malchios kishet sham tamlichuni alai zichrono kadeshu tizkaruni ubameh b'shofar with the shofar. The Gemara has a structure of 3 that is incorporated with the shofar. So if you just come to daven on Rosh Hashanah and you don't have any shofar with you, then it's only rabbinic in nature. When does it become a Torah, right, requirement to daven on Rosh Hashanah? That's when it's incorporated with the shofar. Why is that important that it's incorporated with the shofar? Because what's the difference between a shofar and davening? What's the shofar? If you talk about a shofar versus davening, what's the difference? What's the shofar versus davening? What's davening? Right, what's davening? Right, davening, we just said, it's about bilbo chol v'avchem, right, speaking from one's heart. But you're giving, right, manifestation, right? You're giving words to express that which you feel in your heart. Hey, davening is taking my feelings in my heart, express them to Hashem, I say words, that's tefillah. What's the shofar? Right, so what's the shofar? Shofar's words? What's the shofar? Right, so that's one of the things the shofar represents, is the aisle, the akedat yisak. Right, but how is that happening? How is it a, what are we calling out to Hashem? What are we asking for? When you blow the shofar,
at,
what?
Like crying.
Right, okay, very good. So it's crying. That's what it's called, kol gomi. A bass instinct, a bass call. Right, the blowing of the shofar is a cry, it's a call out, without, what? The sinun, without the filter of words. I mean, it's a bass cry. It's someone calling out from the heart. They can't give expression to it through words. They just call out with a shofar. So now, what's the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah? Right? What's the davening of Rosh Hashanah? What's the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah? Is the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah the words? Or is the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah the crying? What is it going to be? The answer is what? Crying. Why? What's the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah? Right? What's the mitzvah that belongs to Rosh Hashanah? What do we blow on Rosh Hashanah? Blow the shofar. So the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is crying out. So now, what is the malchiyot, zichronot, and shofarot? What are those? They are giving manifestation, they're explaining, or giving context to in which we're blowing or we're calling out. And that is why. Talk about a shofar. Let's talk about a shofar. When you blow a shofar, what does that represent? So one of the things we said was crying. What else? When else do you blow a shofar? Right? When else do you blow a trumpet? When do you blow a shofar?
Battle.
Battle. Very good. Going to war. Right? It was a key, one of the key items that was brought to war in the time, especially in Tanakh. It was a shofar. That was part of going out to go to battle. The one took out the shofar. What else is the shofar used for?
Mashiach.
Right, coronation. Mashiach, right? Coronation of a king. Right, Mashiach. Where else? Har Sinai. Right, we had it at Har Sinai. So the shofar has different forms or different manifestations. The shofar can represent what? It can represent crying. It can represent fear. It can represent battle, right? Going to war. It can also represent what? Coronation. Getting, right? Being, anointing a king. It also can represent, somebody mentioned it's a Mashiach, right? Di'ula, right? Har Sinai. Areas where it's not simply, right, the normal, but beyond the normal, beyond nature. So if you look at the shofar has a manifestation, right, has the ability to express in different ways. Well, if you blow the blow of the shofar, how do you tell which one it is? Right? So that's the way we have the framework of tefillah, right? Tefillah is malchiyot, zichronot, and shofarot. Each one of those brachot represents one aspect of the shofar. What's malchiyot? Right? That is, what we say at the shofar, the coronation, right? In coronating the king, anointing the king. We come to the shofar, one of the aspects, one of the ideas of Rosh Hashanah is that we're making Hashem the king. We're saying Hashem is the king of the world. Hashem is, that's why we say, Melech HaKadosh, Melech HaMishpat. Right? It's all about Hashem being the absolute ruler over the world. That is Malchut. That's the blowing of the shofar. What else did we say shofar was? Shofar is crying, it's battle, it's milchama. What's that represented by? Zichronot. What are the zichronot? And the zichronot are times of mashbir, times when things break down, when things aren't going so well. Zichronot are all about times where things were not going so well for Klal Yisrael. Things, for instance, they talk about Noach, right, and when the Teva, destruction of the world, and then afterwards what's happening. All the blowing of the shofar during zichronot are more, you know, negative aspects of the shofar. Then what do we have in the end? We have shofarot, the final listing. What's shofarot? Right, shofarot represents the Geula, Mashiach, right, all these great things, Har Sinai, right, the Atid Lavo, the shofar in the future. So you have these different ideas, different manifestations of the shofar, and how do we express them? We express them through tefillah. Now if you look at the structure of that tefillah, it's amazing. When do you anoint the king? Malchut. When do you anoint the king? At the end of his rule or the beginning of his rule? The beginning, right? So Malchut is the beginning, right? That's the state of being when Hashem created the world. That's one of the things, the psukim that we mentioned in Malchut, they're all about start, about the creation of the world. Things that are, what? Malchut, kingdom, coronation. That is, what? The beginning. Right? That's the starting point. So when we talk about the bow, the shofar, and the Malchut, that aspect is what? Is the aspect of Malchut, of start, of the beginning, what it was supposed to be like when Hashem created the world. What's Zichronot? Zichronot is the time, right, we say crying, battle. That's the failure. Hashem set out for the world to try to do it in a certain way, and what happened? It doesn't work exactly like he thought, right? Things aren't exactly perfect. That's why we're here today, right? Trying to fix that up, do tshuva, change things. That's zichronot. Zichronot is reality. What happened after Hashem became the king, created the world, that's reality. What's shofarot? Shavuot is right, redemption, the end game, right? That's when things are made better. So you have Malchus, Zichronos, Shofaros, right, which represents the three aspects of the shofar. The idea that we Hashem started with an ideal. Rosh Hashanah is what? The creation, right? See? Hayom Harat Olam. Right? Today is the day, is the conception of the world. This is the day that the world was either conceived or created, depending on my focus in the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah. But at least, what? This is the beginning of the world. That's the Malchus. That was all the ideals. What could have happened? Zichronot, that's reality. That's what we live in. Right? That's what we're dealing with. Shofarot, right? The blow of the shofar is what we hope for, what we're aiming for. What we're trying to accomplish is to return it back to what the old Malchus was. But we do it with through Zichronot, meaning once we know what we failed at, through those failings, hopefully we can bring it back, and the shofar. So the final thing we'll just end with is, right, so far we understood. Number one, right, davening on Rosh Hashanah. Generally, davening is only midrabbanan. And most people believe that davening on Rosh Hashanah is also midrabbanan. Rashi, and based on our salvation, has an interesting chiddush. The davening on Rosh Hashanah could even be min haTorah. Why is that? Because it's incorporated with the shofar. And the shofar, we know, is the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, blowing the shofar. And the davening gives the context, or the definition of why we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Malchios, Zichronos, Shofarot. Right? The other aspect, remember we said before, was that the Ramban, who believes that davening is only rabbinic in nature, yet on Rosh Hashanah, on Eitz Tzara, whenever there's an Eitz Tzara, when you call out, right, then what does the Ramban say? That it is Mideh Oraita. So listen to the Rambam. The Rambam here, it's the second to last on this sheet. The Rambam Hilchos Tanis says, that it's a mitzvah min haTorah, lizok v'lariyah b'chol tzitzro t'chol tzara sh'tavo l'tzibur. Right, that any time that there's something going bad, or there's an Eitz Tzara, right, there's a need to call out to Hashem. Rosh Hashanah is also an Eitz Tzara. Why is it an Eitz Tzara? Everything is on the line. Right, it's the Yom HaDin. Everything's on the line. So it's an Eitz Tzara. If it's an Eitz Tzara, right, how do we know it's an Eitz Tzara? Where do we blow? The shofar. The shofar is an indication. The Tzkatim Chatzot is an indication that there's an Eitz Tzara. For blowing the shofar is also an indication that maybe, even according to the Rambam, there might be an additional aspect on Rosh Hashanah that makes the tefillah more important. Even generally, tefillah is d'oraita, but on Rosh Hashanah, maybe even more so because it's an Eitz Tzara, because of the zichronot. That's the important thing to remember. When you come into Musaf, the Shmoneh Esrei, they blow the shofar beforehand. The Machios, right? The zichronot shofarot, that's the expression of the shofar. That's the expression of Rosh Hashanah. What's Rosh Hashanah about? Right, the ideal, what could have been, the creation, the failures, and our need to do tshuva, because it's Yom HaDin, the Eitz Tzara, we're blowing the shofar to remind us that we can get to the shofar of the shofar gadol, which is the shofar of Mashiach. All right, k'tiva k'tima tova, have a great Shana Tova, and everybody's tefillah should be accepted.